All right, today we are at the top of Yadalid Amin Aleph Nein Yaakov Eschaf Hey. At the beginning of the page. So, the Mishnah, in between the last thing and the last, we talked about Thursday and we're learning today, there's a Mishnah which discusses a king going to a funeral of his relatives. So in connection to it, the Gemara is going to discuss different rules about a funeral and give examples of kings, of specific David HaMelech, going after a funeral to demonstrate its point. Particularly in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda uses an example from David HaMelech to teach a halacha, so now it is going to do the same thing over here. So Tanur Rabbanan says in the Braisa, Makim shenagu nashrim lathis achar mita yetzes. Lefnei mita yetzes. There's different minhagim. Back in the day, they went the minhagim of a levaya was that women would go along with a funeral procession and wail for the deceased. Loud public crying. The part of this being that women often that when and someone sees women crying, it pulls on the heartstrings. So the purpose of this was to get people to bring people more in the mood. It would help people mourning the dead, mourning the deceased. So there was different intimate hugging where these women would march along with the funeral procession. Some places had the women and walk in front. Some places had the women walk behind. So the Gemara comments that in places that the popular minhag was to for them to walk in front, then if you follow that minhag, if behind, then if you follow that minhag. The Mefarshim give different explanations why different places had different minhagim and whether or they go before or behind. That the women go in front, pretty much all Mefarshim explain that the reason is because death started from a woman. When Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, then that introduced death to the world. This is according to the opinions, they say they go in front, that they go behind. One explanation that Tosfos offers is there's a halacha that you're not allowed to walk behind a woman. So over here, if they go in front, then you can't walk behind them. So they go in back, so there's no hira havira. But then Yehuda gives another explanation that while women were the original ones who introduced death to the world, there was a point in history where death stopped existing in the world. By Mount Taira. Then, by the Egel, not a single woman was involved in that. As we know, Aaron tells them, take the jewelry from your wives and children. And the men took their own earrings because their wives weren't willing to give them for the Egel. The men were involved in the Egel, so the men are the ones who brought death back into the world, so therefore the men should go in front, says the Ben Yehuda. So that's the Tanna Kamma holds, that it follows whatever minhag is in the locale. Rav Yehuda Eimer, L'Olam Nashim L'Fneim Et Yetzis. Rav Yehuda Eimer holds that as always women go in front. As we see, by David HaMelech, he followed Avner's funeral procession. So a bit of background about this. Avner was Shaul's general. When up when the end of it, it was Sling Shoal, at the various times, Abner helped and even encouraged it. Particularly, there was a time where David hid in a cave. Shoal went into the cave to use the bathroom. David saw an opportunity, snuck up on Shoal, and cut a corner of his tutus. When Shoal left the cave, to continue his search for David, he already went further away by then, so David had called out, Shoal, look what I have. It shows him the corner of his tutus. Look at your tutus, see what I have. Here's proof. I was right there, right next to you. I could have killed you. I did it. And Shoal accepted that and went away from Dubin and left Dubin in peace. Until Abner convinced him, not necessarily was that's actually what happened. It's possible that you got your tits caught on a thorn or something, and it's tore. Dubin might just be lying to get get you to think that he's safe, and then once he's close to you, then he'll kill you. So, ultimately, after Shoal was killed, there was a period of time, there were 7 years, before David HaMelech became king of the entire Jewish nation. During that time period, there's different opinions as to exactly when this happened, but Abner gathered all the Jewish people, gathered almost all the Shvatim, and had them appoint into Shaul's oldest son, Ishbosheth, oldest surviving son, Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth reigned for 2.5 years over most of the Jews, while David ruled from Chevron over Shevet Yehuda. Finally, at the end of those 2.5 years, the Abner and Yoav, the two generals of the two sides, were together, and they had a couple of soldiers with them, and Abner suggested, why don't we have a little duel to see which of our men are better? So there was a duel, 7 against 7, and each side wanted to show how powerful they were, how loyal to their kingdom they were, and how was everything. And the duel went until all 14 died. Due to the brutality of all this, what started off as a quote-unquote fun little duel turned into a whole battle in which Asael, Yoav's brother, went to chase after Abner. Asael was extremely fast. It's he was able to run over a field of grain so fast that the wheat wouldn't even bend. And so he went chasing Abner. Abner turned around 2 times and begging Asael, please don't make me kill you. How am I going to be able to face your brother, Yoav, if I kill you? Asael continued his pursuit, though. Finally, Abner turned around and stuck out his spear, intending to just wound Asael. That's according to some opinions. Other opinions say that he intended to kill. Regardless, he struck Asael in the 4th rib, right where the heart and vital organs are, killing him instantly. So, sometime after this, Abner determined that Abner and Ishbosheth got into an argument, which resulted in Abner just giving up on Ishbosheth and deciding to go join David. He went to David, and David accepted him. But Yoav wasn't happy about this. Yoav wasn't in the throne room at the time, but he came soon after, heard that David had allowed Avner in without question, and was furious. How could you allow him in? He's going to turn around and betray you. So he went out and tricked Ekta Avner, asked Avner how a woman with no hands is able to do chalitza. So he said with his mouth, and he started demonstrating. While Avner was bent down, Yaev stabbed him and killed him. So now after Avner's dead, Yaev, David had heard about it and was furious with Yaev. And he called him out on it. As it happened, he still needed a general, and Yaev was the top-notch general, so he kept Yaev around. But in the meantime, started mourning for Avner. He made a giant in funeral, a tremendous mourning, a day of mourning, and mourned for Avner greatly. So now, at this funeral, the pasuk says that David followed the funeral procession. So now, if the women were behind the funeral procession, then David wouldn't be with the women. David would be with the men. So the fact that the pasuk says that David was behind the funeral procession tells Rabbi Yehuda that the women were in front of the funeral procession. And since there's a pasuk that implies that the women were in front, and there's no psukim in Tanakh that hints to women, that points to women being behind, then we should follow what the Torah says and have the women go in front of the procession. So what does the Tanakham answer? Amulei, they answered him, Lo haya davar ela lefayas ha'am. What was going on over there? It's not telling us the position of the women. What's going on is that David is going to comfort to appease the nation, and he appeased them. He was going back and forth between the men and women, trying to appease them both. The Ben Yehuda explains that. That the men and were more focused on Avner's spiritual side, on his Torah. When David was going among them and consoling them, showing how deeply he cared about Avner's Torah, about Avner's Torah accomplishments, versus the women were more focused on the physical side of matters, of how Avner was a mighty general who protected the Jewish nation, and was an important political figure. So he went among them too and demonstrated his concern and how much he appreciated Avner from the political side and the Gash Mystica side as well. So he was going around back and forth to appease the nation, to console the nation. As the pasuk says, V'yadil chala'am v'chal Yisrael ki lo yoyis ha'me ha'melech l'amis of Avner. As the pasuk says, and the entire nation knew, and all of Jews knew that it was not from the king to kill Avner. That David HaMelech was not responsible for Yaev killing Avner. The fact that it stresses Kol Ha'am rather than Kol Ha'Nashim means that the entire nation, men and women, that David went around to both. And on that note, Darash Rava taught, Maidech se v'yavech ala'am l'havres es David, and the entire nation came to bring the mourner's meal to David. The mourner brought a meal to as part of comforting him. So what's going on? Ksiv lehachreis, v'kriyan lehachreis. The pasuk says to cut off David, to destroy David, And the pasuk is meant to be read to feed David. So b'tchila l'chayse v'lasef l'avreise. Originally they came intending to cut him down. They thought that David was responsible for killing Abner. Once they saw how deeply David was mourning Abner, they realized that it was not from David, and so they instead turned to console him, to bring food, for the mourner's meal, to bring, So now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rav, named Mana Nesh Avner. Why was Avner punished? It was a different wrongdoing that Abner had done throughout his life. Which one particularly was the one made him deserving to be killed? The Yerushalmi, he lists a few options. So the Bavli is asking, which of those options? Mimnei shehaya lelimchas b'shal v'lai micha. The reason? Because he could have protested Shaul, and he did not. The different explanations why he could have protested, the two explanations are what? Number one, in the city of Nive. Shaul killed all the kind of Nive, all the people of Nive, and that's a tremendous affair that's held over the heads of Shaul, of Abner, of Doeg. Doeg especially, since he's the one who told Shaul about it and advised him to kill Nive. Nive is particularly why Doeg doesn't have a chiluk l'Olam Haba. It's held over him and it's held over David. So Shaul is one of the reasons why he was killed. David, there was a famine in late in David's times. Shaul also owed the solution to the famine. David asked Urim and Thummim what to do, and it told him that it was because of the city of Nive, and as punishment, and the way to make it right is that there was the Gevinim. Some of the Gevinim were killed in this thing, so ask the Gevinim what they want and give it to them. The Gevinim wanted blood. Blood for blood. Seven Gevinim were killed. They wanted seven descendants of Shaul to be killed. David had no choice but to give it to them, but in turn he made a decree. Clearly the Gevinim are not deserving to be called Jews. Jews are by Shanim Rachmanim and Gemachsadim, these Gevinim are clearly showing they're not Rachmanim. They don't have mercy. They're asking blood for blood. So therefore, their Jews are not allowed to marry them. They got a lower class position. So that was a punishment for both David and Shaul. Lost Adam Haba, and Abner's was this. He could have protested, and he didn't, so he's punished, then now he gets killed by Yaya. And it's, that's why he got killed. Another explanation given is that he could have protested Shaul chasing David HaMelech, and he didn't. As I mentioned, he in fact encouraged David to chase David, so the fact that he didn't protest it is held against him. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Armicha V'lay Nana. Rabbi Yitzchak, however, holds that he did protest Shaul, but Shaul did not listen to him. Ushneim Mikra'echa Darshu. They're both darshaning based on the same pasuk. The pasuk said, "Ve'kainan haMelech is Avner." David lamented Avner. Ve'yemer hakmeis navo yamus Avner. Should Avner die like a nobody? Yedecha le'aseret ve'aglecha le'elin tashim im hugshu. your hands were not tied and your feet were not stuck in place. Manda Marley Michada Pitman said they did not protest. He's saying, Michti. Let's see. Dechalei Aser, if your hands were not tied, and your feet were not bound up, my time alei machis. You had a position of political importance. You could have protested, and Shaul might have listened. Why didn't you? And if that's why you fell. Amanda Mermichad, but the opinion said that he did protest, Vlenana, it's Mary Mathma. Then David's saying it as a wonder, not as an explanation for why Avner died, but as a wonder. Hakamais Novel, Elyamus? Should he die like a wrongdoer? Yedach Elyasuris, your hands were not tied, but Yedach Elyam Tashim. And you were kept your hands untied and kept your feet moving. Michti, Michli, Kaimachis. You were protested. My time, I can fall if Nebne Eila Nefalta. How come you fell like that? So then Gemara asks, Lamanda Mermicha, my time, Yanish. According to the opinion that said they did protest Shaul, how come he was punished? So I'm not going to be a Malchus Pesavid station in Mamessa. He prevented David from becoming king for 2.5 years. David HaMelech could have become king earlier over the entire Jewish nation, but Avner delayed it. According to Rashi, he delayed it immediately. According to Tetzis, he delayed later on in the reign. According to Tetzis, he delayed it immediately. Regardless, the delay happened for 2.5 years due to Avner. 2.5 years of this Avner. We know that Yaakov benched Binyamin. Hashem, and when Binyamin was the only Shevet left to be born, Hashem told El Yaakov the Treve Umlochim Mechaz Sachiyetei, and kings, plural, will come from your our descendants, from those unborn yet. In other words, Binyamin. That's what Abner in fact darshens to say is gracious should become king. Seemingly Abner had a valid point. So the Mepharshim explained that it could have been some other time. Avner didn't ask Navi, should I do this? Avner didn't ask Urim Tumim. He darshened it himself and said, okay, based on my drasha, based on how I'm understanding the pasuk, Ishbosheth should become king. If he asked Navi, then Navi might have said, that's not, it's not time for it now. It might be time for it some other time. The fact that he decided it himself was his mistake that ultimately led to his downfall. So now, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, Kola Amar Arshat Melech, anything that's said in the Sukkim, and that Shmuel said about the downside of having a king. Shmuel threatened Jews when he was going to appoint a king. And if you want this? Note that a king can do a host of different stuff that you might not like. He could take your daughters, hers. He could take your fields. You can do a bunch of different stuff, all without, all against your will. And you'll have no recourse. You won't be able to defend yourself. So, Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishmor that anything that said over there, Melech Mutter, but a king is allowed to do. So, for example, if a king sees a field that he desires, he's allowed to take it without questioning. Tosfos points out there is in fact a historical case where a king wanted a field and tried taking it, and he wasn't able to, and had to go roundabout ways, namely Achav with Novice's field. So what's the deal with that? So he offers a couple of answers, the first one, the Pasuk implies that Achav wanted it for idolatry. The Torah allows one to, it allows a king to take a field for kingly uses, not for just putting idols there. Torah very obviously is not going to allow with taking a field, a king taking a field to put an idol there. So the fact that that Achav wanted that was not allowed al-Pi Torah, and that's why Achav was punished for it. Other explanations include that a king is only allowed to take a field for public use, not for his own use. Achav wanted it for his own use. Another answer is that this is only allowed for a king who's king over the entire Jewish nation. Achav not king over the entire Jewish nation, only the 10 Shvatim, not Malchus Yehuda. There's various answers given over there. Anyway, Rav Amar, Rav Amar disagrees with Shmuel and says, "Lo nemra parsha zu ela la'ayim aleihem." This is this teaching of a king being allowed to a king being allowed to do all these stuff is not actually stuff that he's allowed to do. It's more stuff that Shmuel was threatening the Jews in order to make them afraid, in order to try to scare them out of asking for a king, because it wasn't the right time. As Shmuel said over there, why do you want a king? Hashem is king over you. So the fact that they were asking for a king, the fact that they're asking for a king wrongly, Shmuel's trying to scare them into not wanting a king anymore. The reason why they wanted a king was that at the time Amun was invading in the Eretz Yisrael, so the Jews were afraid, and they said that we had the whole system throughout the Shoftim where a kingdom invaded us, we did Treva, we were saved, and we had peace for a while until we went back to our old ways. We're tired of this cycle. We want to just stick with our ways and have a king who will protect us, like the other nations. So Shmuel called him out on that. What do you mean you need a king? A Jewish king should, unlike other nations, which if they have a king, and then that king helps them take conquer their land and establish a secure foundation, you don't need a king. Hashem's your king. Hashem will help you conquer Israel as you promised. And then, after you have peace, then you can validly have a king. So he was only doing it in order to make them afraid. So more comments, Kitanoi. This Machlekes Rav and Shmuel actually reflects a Machlekes is a of the Tanoi. Rav Yosi Eimer Kol Amrim Parshas Melech Mutter Erbay Melech Mutter Bay. Rav Yosi said that anything said in the Parsha a king is allowed to do. Rav Yehuda Eimer Lo Nemar Parshas Zu Ela Kedei La'ayim Aleihem. Rav Yehuda, however, holds that it's only he said in order to make them afraid. Nemar, same Pesach Melech HaMelech, as the Pesach says, you should point of view, a king shtei maseilach. It means that at his fear should be over you. Similarly, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Shalosh mitzvot nisavi yisadach nisazim la'aretz." The Jews are commanded three mitzvot when they come into Eretz Yisrael. Laman la melech, la'achazar shal melech, livnis lan beis habechira. One, to have a king. Two, to wipe out the descendants of a Amalek. And three, to rebuild the Beis Mikdash. The reason why it says v'chein in Farshim explain is that if kings would really be allowed to do all these negative things to the Jews, then how would that be a mitzvah to appoint the king? Clearly, a king's only allowed to do more moral stuff. Like, if he wants a field, then he has to pay for it and go through the whole legal order. Because if a king was above the law, then why would there be a mitzvah to appoint a king? Why would there be a mitzvah to have a negative thing upon the Jews? Mr. It's a pasuk in Torah is only a taught in against the Jews' complaints. Shema v'amarta asim alay melech v'gamer. The pasuk said that when you settle in your land and you say, "I want to appoint myself a king like all the nations around me," then the pasuk says, "Then you're allowed. Then you're allowed. Not that you have to, but you're allowed to appoint over yourself a king." Says Rav Nechemya. So Tal Anya by says Rabbi Eliezer Eimer is Kam Shavadar Kahagin Shalu. Rabbi Eliezer holds that the elders of that generation were asking properly. Shnemar Tnalanu Melech Leshavteinu. Give the king to judge us. A king's job is to judge the Jewish nation. Make sure that they're following Torah. So the elders were asking in for the right reasons. Notably, the pasuk says that at that time Shmuel was growing old, and his two sons and were not behaving properly. So therefore, the elders were saying, "Okay, our system of Zekenim, our system of Shechtim isn't working anymore. Clearly, we need a new system. We need a king to judge over us."
How old was Shmuel? 52. He wasn't that old.
Shmuel passed away when he was 52. He was probably around 50. Shmuel was a Levi, so he would have worked in the Beis Mikdash, in the Mishkan until 50. So once he's retired from the Beis Mikdash, then clearly that's showing in some degree of old age. And also, he might have been exhibiting physical signs of old age. It was harder for him to walk. All 50 were Nevi'im. Even in Yiftach, who's the lowest of the Shaftim, was Nevi.
What's the
line
Nevi'im?
Until Shmuel, there was actually very few Nevi'im. There was usually about one Navi per generation. Technically two, because Pinchas survived. Pinchas was alive at least until the times of Shmuel, depending on if he was Eliyahu Navi or if he passed away and was in the Skalgal until Eliyahu Navi. Different Mepharshim have different opinions on that. Eliyahu Navi could have been from any of like five or six Shvatim. But once Shmuel became a Navi, then it says that the gates of Nevuah were open, and significantly more Nevi'im started appearing. But until Shmuel, it was only the Shefet of the generation and Pinchas, and maybe a handful of others like this gate in it, like The Sanhedrin, Haggadah, might have also been a VM. I don't think it really states one way or another. But Nebuah was extremely rare. After Shmuel, even then, Nebuah wasn't extremely common, but there was at least dozens of Nevi'im per generation, compared to a handful, or to like one or two. So the Canaan were asking properly. Aval ame ha'aretz shebehen kilkalu. Da ame ha'aretz, the burden, the people who didn't have a proper midas and weren't behaving properly, they were the ones ruining the whole situation. Shemar, v'yinu gam anachnu k'chol agayim. V'shaftein ha'malkinu v'yasa l'shneinu. We should be like all the other nations, and our king should judge us and go in front of us into war. So while the elders were asking properly, the Amei Aretz were asking improperly, and so they're the ones who Shmuel was directing his criticism. Why are you asking for a king? Hashem, your king, notes that a king can do all these stuff. And this it particularly matches with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rav, who says that Shmuel was only saying these to make them afraid. Because Canaan knew that a king is not allowed to do all of these stuff in that case. But the Amei Aretz, they're Amei Aretz, they don't know. So, therefore Shmuel is able to use these kind of scare tactics to try to scare them into, on one hand, not wanting a king, and on the other hand, if they do accept a king, to have proper fear of a king. Tanyedach, another baisa, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Shalash Mitzvahs and Savo Yisrael B'chnasas L'aretz. Some Rabbi Yehuda, according to some opinions, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says three mitzvahs the Jews were commanded in when they came into Israel. Lamed la melech lachazar shal melech live nesvit lam beis habechira. To establish a king, to destroy a molech, and to build a beis mikdash. Many days of hand tchila. So which one comes first? Specifically, these three mitzvahs are unique. All other mitzvahs apply when the Jews come to Israel, such as truma, maaser, challah. All of them are mitzvahs on Yochid. These three are mitzvahs on the Tzibur. So we don't know which one should come first. So Shu'emer ki yaral keis ka mecham al Hashem ha'molek, the pasuk says that there's a hand on Hashem's throne and case being incomplete and Ka being incomplete. As we know, Hashem's throne and Hashem's name aren't complete until Amalek's destroyed. There's a war, Hashem has a war against Amalek. Hevemer laham el hamelach chila. King is first. Ben kiseh el hamelach. As we know, a throne, Hashem's throne refers to the king's throne. Shnemar v'yeshav shlemal kiseh Hashem lamelach. As the pasuk says, Shlomo sat on Hashem's throne to become king. Vadain any day im lachazar shal malik tchila im livnes beit bechira tchila. Which one comes first, to destroy a malik or to build a beit mikdash? Kishuay mevaniach Hashem lachem mikol eivichem v'geimer. Vayah makam Hashem v'chashem v'geimer. It says Hashem will give you peace from all your enemies, and then. And the place where Hashem chooses is that's where you should build a bit of mikdash. Then have you aimer lachazar shal malach tchila. It says once Hashem gives you peace from all your enemies, and then you build a bit of mikdash. That means destroy a malach first. Interestingly, we find that both in the first and second Mishnah Mikdash, that's how it happened. In the first Mishnah Mikdash, David went and on a campaign to destroy Amalek, and said that Yoav killed all called Zachar about Amalek, and only afterwards the Mishnah Mikdash was able to be built. And similarly, the second Mishnah Mikdash, Purim happened, and only after that the second Mishnah Mikdash was able to be built. And when Mashiach comes, Amalek's going to be destroyed. Both Yashmias and Roshnias, Amalek, Ashakar Chabderach, the Kaltkite to Yiddishkite, and the physical Amalek will be destroyed, and then Mashiach will come, Bimher Vimein. First goes the destruction of Amalek, then and Mashiach. It was when David sat in his house. Hashem niach lemisaviv, and Hashem granted him peace is from all around, meaning it, which implies including it, Amalek was gotten rid of. And only afterwards, David said to Nathan Nabi, behold, I'm sitting in a palace of cedar, and Hashem. And is sitting out without a proper home. So it wants to build a Mishnah Mikdash. So you see that happened only after Amalek was destroyed. Right, something from the Nina Mashiach Gola from the Rebbe. Nowadays, officers' jobs are to support judges. If a judge is not able to establish his justice properly, then he'll have officers, people with his sticks and whips to force the litigant and to accept the judgment. The reason in the Gola it only says, and I'll return on your judges as they were originally, and not your officers, is because when Mashiach comes, there won't be evil, there won't be a Zahara, there won't be any need for officers to force the nation to listen to the judges, since everyone's going to follow with the judge is directive on their own. From a Sechah from Pashreftim, from the Nalt. And the halacha from Shulchan Aruch, if one borrows a four-cornered garment from a friend, which does not have tzitzis, he's not obligated to attach tzitzis to it for 30 days. Chachamim derived this law from the pasuk: "You shall make yourself is on the four corners of your garment." The mitzvah applies only to your garment, but not to a garment belonging to others. After 30 days pass, however, one becomes a chayav to attach tzitzis to the garment, midra bona. Because then it appears as if it's his. These 30 days have to be consecutive, meaning that if he returns it to the owner within 30 days and then borrows it again, the two time periods are not added together. And say he counts 30 days from the second time it was borrowed.